All right.
So if you just like to say your name and your date of birth.
Yes. Starting now.
Please.
I'm Audrey Parkin. I was born in 1935 at Butterwick. Moved when I was 3 years old to Bomby Cottage. And I lived at Bomby Cottage with my parents, my brother, until I was married. And then I moved to Burnbanks, and we lived number one Burnbanks. And we had a little girl, and my husband got another job in Yorkshire, so of course we moved. And so we had lived on Burnbanks for about 3.5 years.
Right. And you said that your father... And
my father was a blacksmith.
On,
yes.
So what are your memories of your father being involved with Burnbanks in the early years?
Well, he just accepted, you know, it was a steady job and that was okay, you see.
Were there a lot of horses used then up at Burnbanks?
Were there what?
Were there a lot of horses used?
Oh no, it wasn't so much shoeing horses as seeing to the tools they were working with. Oh, right. And also the bits and bobs sometimes from the Horsewater Hotel. Which, you know, they had to do. I suppose hinges on gates and things like that would there be, latches, different things. Yes, he was employed there until he retired.
Right. So where was he actually employed?
Down in the yard, you know, Burnbanks Village, the first sort of big turning in, where the garages are, where the garages are, you turn down there, there's a gate always on and closed when it was, the works was closed, you say, and that's where he went every day.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
He has shoed horses before he came to this job. But I don't know whether he's very keen on it or not, really.
So when you moved to Burnbanks, how was it then when you moved?
Burnbanks,
there?
Yes. It was a busy little village. And I don't remember any of the houses being empty.
Right.
And
what was there for you?
Well, there had been a shop and a post office, but when we moved there was only the post office, which was very good. Now we had a big travelling shop every week, a milkman of course, and the coal man, and the doctor from Shap Practice used to come down 2 afternoons a week to see patients. Yes.
So there were a lot of people there.
Oh yes, quite a lot of people there. The works were quite busy. And then there was the buses. I mean, you could get in and out of Penrith twice on a Saturday and back at 10:30 at night. It just dwindled when people got motor cars, I think.
Can you tell me something about your house when you moved into it?
They're all bungalows. Well, it had a nice living room, 3 bedrooms, a pantry, a bathroom and a kitchen. But the only thing about it was very cold in winter. Really cold. Because it's not like these, you know, not built like these are. Very cold in winter. Yes.
And what was the kitchen like? What did you cook on?
Oh, yeah, electric cooker.
Electric cooker.
Then you had your sink fitted in with the window and the cooker. Then it was quite a big kitchen, but it was a narrow passage out of the bigger part. Oh, and then we had, there was a hatch, and we had the doors, and you could, if anybody was through in the kitchen, you wanted to give them food, I suppose, we never used it, popped it through the hatch, and they got it at that end in the kitchen.
There wasn't a range when
there was no central heating.
Right.
There was no...
Had there ever been a range, or had they always been
I do believe, but I've never seen it. That there was a lady on the village, she used to take in a lot of lodgers. And she, well, maybe it wasn't what you would call a range, an old black stove, you've seen them in schools. Something like that, but I never saw it. course, those people would have been and gone before we went up there, you know.
Right. Right.
The main workforce that was stopping, sleeping and, you know, accommodation and that sort of thing. But, no, they were all a standard size, those bungalows.
Mm-hmm.
They were all three-bedroomed.
Mm-hmm.
But as I say, they were cold in winter, warm in summer, because they kept the heat in summer, but they lost it.
They lost it.
All of it when it was cold.
What about the roads? Were they similar to how they are now? Or
how about
the roads? Were they similar to how they
are now? Oh, yes, yes, yes. Road right up to the dam there, the road the back of the houses up there, if you can go for walkers to the end bungalow and that sort of thing, yeah. Oh, I don't think the roads have altered at all.
Right.
They'll possibly do that before they started with the building of the house. I don't know.
What about any social life? Were there any social
There was, but I didn't live there then. It was when I would be a lot younger, you know, and lived at Bondi. They had a, what did they call it, where they could go and gather and dances and oh, well, there'd be maybe not a pub, but they could buy a drink and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And Colin Cannon used to have that. Do you remember Margaret Cannon, a not from Shap? Margaret's dad had that.
Oh, right.
It would be before he was married.
Mm-hmm.
He looked after that. It'd be go to the a club sort of thing,
yeah,
I suppose.
Like a social club.
Yes, yes. So that was. That was somewhere for them to go, but I suppose in lots of ways, the lodgers and that, they'll probably work longer hours. They may have been tired out and not go out just maybe a week. Oh, they used to come to the Jerry, St. Patrick's, and never get in now, would they?
That's true.
Yes, and the doctor came twice every week. I think it was either Tuesday and Friday afternoons and Monday and Monday and Friday afternoons.
Mm-hmm.
And you never had any bother phoning for a doctor to call, never. And if I remember rightly, he was the only doctor in practice then, so it must have been a lot smaller.
What about the children from the village? Did they come down to the school here?
Yes, oh yes, and when and long after the dam was finished and that sort of thing, I'm sure John Bonus used to go for them, you know, because there still were bits of busy traffic on that road up there, and so they must have agreed that those children had to be taken to school and taken back home for safety's sake. Yes. I had an auntie and two cousins, well, and a husband, auntie and uncle and two cousins, they lived at Measand. And my auntie was my mum's twin sister. Yeah, they lived up there for years. And then when it was going to be flooded, they had to get out, you see. They had to move. So they moved into Leicestershire. That's where they went. No, they're dead now, like, but... it was quite an upheaval, I do believe, really, quite sad. Because, have you read that book about... It's very sad, and they loved the air of the people in it, didn't they? Yeah.
Very difficult.
Yeah, hard times.
What about the sort of environment, you know, the woods and things? Do you remember it being a nice place to move to from here? Because you were... Bombay, you
said. Yes. Do you mean the woods at Burnbanks?
Yes.
Oh, well, I've known me go with some mates and walk up the river from the Chapel Beck and walk up there to Thornthwaite. And it was a lovely walk, but you never saw many people. There'll be visitors maybe come and walk more than we ever did. But it was a nice area, really. Yeah, it was lovely. Yeah.
So you did some of your shopping in the village and then some of your shopping in Penrith. Would you go on the bus into Penrith when you were living at Burnbank?
Well, I used to get quite a lot of shopping off the van.
Oh,
then
nice.
It was brought, you see, when I was working, Mrs. Hindmarsh, Sylvia's mother-in-law, used to get it for me, you know, because I was working to six, the shops were shut.
Mm-hmm.
So that would, no problems that way. No, very lucky really when you look back. You know, that all was brought to your door if you needed it.
What about the other women who lived up there? Did you have quite a bit to do with them? Did you sort of...
Reader.
No, did you socialise? Were you in and out of each other's houses or... You know, did you
Not really. Everybody seemed to get off on with the jobs. You know, when there was a clinic day, you'd walk down to the clinic together and that sort of thing, you know. But no, we just sort of got on with our work and did a bit of gardening and that sort of thing. Your days just went.
So did your dad, you said he lived, they lived at Bombay.
Yeah.
That was when he was working at Birnbach.
Yeah, but he lived at Butterwick before that.
Right.
But he lived at Stockbridge before that. And the moves were to get nearer to his work.
You see
what I mean?
Yeah. Which was Birnbach's.
Birnbach's, yes. Right.
So how long altogether would he have worked up there, do you know?
Well, he worked up there till he was 65, and he was working up there when I was a little lass of three. Oh, he must have worked there a long time. Mm-hmm. Most of his working life, I should imagine. I should think so.
And when he finished, presumably there were a lot less houses up there than were there by the time he finished work.
I don't know somehow what happened, whether the houses had got rotten and they took some of them down or what, I don't really know, but there was blocks of two, you know, and it seemed to be like that on behind where we lived, that was Gina and Keith and Susan and Norman Buckle, and then next door the bird watchers, and then there maybe wasn't anything after that until you got up to where Barbara Harrison lived, didn't she, up there? There maybe wasn't so many up then, but I think from where we were going up towards the dam, some of those houses may have been taken away. They might have had a use for them, I don't know.
Yes, perhaps setting up another village.
Well, could have done as temporary accommodation, yes.
Yeah.
I think that could have been the case. Mm-hmm. But they were good little houses. As I said, they were cold, but they were good little compact houses. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There were. Oh, I quite enjoyed living up there. I must go and get that photograph, mustn't I?
Well, that's
go on then, carry on.
You don't remember how much you paid for your rent or anything, do you?
Well, now then, the house was empty for a little while, and Hughie said, you know, we'll try for that house, should we? So I knew William Walker, Sir William Walker, you see, he lived up there. And he said, I'll go and ask him what, you know, if I can.
So who was Sir William Walker?
William Walker, well, he was from Manchester. He was Lord Mayor of Manchester at one time, I think. So whether he had something to do with the lake, I don't know.
Where did he live?
In the staff huts, down the wooden huts.
He?
Yeah, he did, him and his housekeeper. That would be maybe, it'd be war years, wouldn't it?
You moved there in...
We moved there in 1954, did I say?
That's right.
Yeah. And he was there then.
Oh, well, probably he did then, because
from Manchester.
Work on the dam stopped, didn't it, during the war? So
Hugh went and asked him about it, and he said yes, and he said, you know, I'd give him rent what they were charging now, and I think he said, oh, well, you'll have to pay, was it 10 shillings a week? Because I think they're about 7 shillings a week.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, all the same size, it'd all be the same price on the village, wouldn't it?
Mm.
And so he said, well, you know, 10 shillings a week and it'll keep it for you, you know, so title. But that's the way they did it, you say, I suppose. But it was a lot of money in those days, maybe. 10 bob, you know.
Remember how much your husband earned?
Yeah.
Do you remember how much your husband earned?
How much he earned? I don't think it'd be more than about £7 or £8 a week, and he was a fully qualified joiner. So, I mean, I know things were, I suppose, in ratio, they were the same to what they are today. Electric was cheaper, coals were cheaper, food was cheaper, bus fares were cheap. Well, I think when I worked at Carlton Hall, I would possibly have maybe not quite as much as Huey, but I considered some, for me, quite a good wage, you know.
How did you get to Carlton
On
Hall
the
from there?
bus.
All right.
Yes, on the bus.
So there was a bus every day?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, yes, every day. And there was one on a Sunday, left Penrith at 1 o'clock. And I think it would come back up again at six and maybe go back about seven. Yes, every day there was buses. There was the first bus, because Hugh used to get it from Penrith to start work at eight. And then there'd be one left Penrith on a Tuesday to be up here for about 10 o'clock, another left to be up here for about 11 o'clock. Then you could come back at 1 o'clock, 4:30, and 6 o'clock, and that would be the end of the days apart from Sunday. Saturday, rather, when it was 10:30 for the pictures going out. Yeah, so it wasn't a bad bus service, and it was a one-man band actually, Mr. Hartness. He owned it,
Yes.
and I mean, he must have been a good businessman because he never got into any problems. There were always plenty of staff to work for him, and he made it pay. He wouldn't have carried on, would he?
No, that's true.
No, he wouldn't. No, it was a good bus service, yeah, really good. Yeah. Oh, those were the days.
So what did you, how did you do your washing? Did you have a boiler or
Well,
anything?
no. When I got married, there's a girl I knew, well, Chrissie Holmes' sister actually, Sheila, and she worked in Altham's in Penrith, and they had these little stock washing machines with a little roller fixed on the top. And it did work by switching it on, it washed. Then you just put them through the little ringer thing. And that was my first washing machine. So I suppose I was lucky to have one,
So
wasn't
did you have that when you were up at Burnbank?
I? Yes,
Oh,
that's where I got it for up there.
yeah, just put your hand down, that's it. No, just, that's fine. Right, so you had two, just one daughter when you were up there?
Just Shirley up there,
Yes,
yes.
right.
Because Ruth's 9 years younger than Shirley.
I
Yes.
see, yes. And you said you moved from Burnbanks
Banks.
because of work, really, was
Well,
it?
Huey got another job, and it was a better job. And we had
Okay.
friends in near Grassington in Yorkshire. But we moved to a place called Linton, which wasn't very far away, actually. And then when Mum and Dad bought these two houses, and they couldn't live in two of them, could they? So we got the other one. And so we moved back.
Did you
So,
miss Burnbanks when you moved?
well, I suppose in a way I did, because your first home, it means quite a lot, doesn't it? Yeah, I thought it was horrible in Yorkshire when I went.
Did you?
I could have sat and cried, but I didn't, but I could have done. But I didn't know anybody, you see, apart from George and Betty, our friends. So there you go.
So did you have it was just electricity, was it, up at
Oh,
Burnbanks? I mean,
yes.
it was that it, yes.
Yes,
And
just electric.
how many sockets would you have had in the house? Can you
Well, you wouldn't
remember?
have two in a bedroom, two in a room anyway, that would be for sure. Just one in a bedroom, I think, yeah. And, oh, well, you just had a light for the pantry and a light for the bathroom, yeah. You had to just be one in a room.
So did you rely on electric fires in the bedrooms?
No, never had fires in the bedrooms. No,
Right.
no.
Just relied on hot water bottles.
Yeah, you're right.
Yes. And where did you dry your clothes?
Oh, we had a washing line outside.
Oh, right.
So it wasn't
Yes.
bad. I mean, summer it was easy as pie when it was nice and sunny. Yes, dried in no time.
And do you remember lots of birds, and do you remember the red squirrels and
I never
things?
remember seeing a red squirrel. I do remember birds. Definitely remember birds, but not squirrels. So there possibly wasn't any. Well, with the job, do you think it might?
I don't
I
know.
don't know. No, I
No
never saw
idea.
a red
No.
squirrel. No, I didn't. It was surprising how many people, you know, that come walking and go up the back road and onto the fell, or be on the fell and come down the back road. It was quite a popular place.
While you were there, did a lot of people move in and out of the village? I mean, was it a population that shifted a lot, or was it a
Well,
static?
no, I don't think they really moved. Well, one couple, he was retirement age, they moved to Penrith. There was one or two moves. Mrs. Holliday, next to Mrs. Highmarsh, opposite where I live, she moved back to Penruddock Way. And Mr. Highmarsh died, but Mrs. Highmarsh stayed on, and she lived a full life there, as far as I can remember. And there was an Irish couple with a little boy, and they lived further up near the dam to where we were at number one. And then they went back to Ireland, possibly just there to do a certain job of work, and then go back, you see. No, there wasn't. Bird watchers weren't heard of when I lived there.
Oh, weren't they?
No. Bird watchers weren't, no. Our holiday homes, because there is one, the last one out of the wooden bungalows, isn't that? That's a holiday home. That'll possibly be the only one there, I think, though. Stafford. No.
Was it seen as quite a difference between the staff and the workers?
Well, there might have been a bit of class distinction there, I'm not sure. But those, they call them staff huts, but one of the workers there and his wife and daughter, he was a, he was a joiner by trade, but a foreman type. And I can't, what about the, well, the policemen lived on there at one time, those staff huts.
Was the policeman still there when you went there?
No. They finished it as a police station, and then there was a PC Barber moved into, you know, where the post office was in Bampton Grange, where Maureen and Colin are. That was a police house. Well, it wasn't, theirs wasn't the police house, because that was a converted barn, wasn't it? They lived there, Mr. Barber. And Sid Weir, of course, lived a long time up there, didn't he?
He did. What about your father? Did he talk, because you say he worked there for most of his working life.
Right, yeah.
So did he and your mum used to go up for dances and things? I mean, did they go up?
Well, they might have done, but I can't really remember.
No, you'd be little.
They maybe didn't, because I would just be little, wouldn't I? I mean, they wouldn't could leave me, would they? Well, maybe if that, somebody else would have got us, I don't know. No, it would be, it was a good community up there with that hall and that, that Colin Cannon looked after. It would keep them together in the recreation time, wouldn't it really?
And were you at school in Bampton? Because you lived at Butterwick, you said.
Yes, I was born at in Wendy Martin's house. That's where I was born.
And did you go to school in Bampton?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, so do you remember...
I came to Bombay when I was three.
Right.
So
you would have gone to school.
Yes, but I had an older brother. And I've heard Mum say that Chris used to sometimes have to walk, or sometimes there was... what did they call him? From Setra Park. Not these people, people before this. He used to stop and give Chris a lift up. It was a long way for a little five-year-old to walk there and back. I don't know the bond today, do they? With lifts.
Very different, isn't it?
Oh, definitely.
Because there would have been children from Burnbanks at the school when you were there.
Oh, yes, there? Yes, it was in the war years. There was all the evacuees. There was three teachers. Yes. Yeah, quite busy, mostly from Tyneside Way, I think the evacuees were.
And did some of them come from Burnbanks, the evacuees, or would they have been...
If they were school age, they would have to come to Bampton School, yes. Burnbanks, oh, yes.
I mean, do you remember any of your friends coming from, you know, the people you made friends with at school, do you remember any of them coming from Burnbanks?
Oh, yes, there was the Thompson girls. Elsie and Ginny and Winnie and Rita, there was, you know, quite a big family. Yeah, I do remember them at school. Yes, definitely. And the Twig family, they lived up at Dry Barrows. They were all boys. And they came to Bampton School. The Crabtrees, they came. Well then, how about anybody else? Oh, the Satterthwaite girls. Well, Kathleen used to be in the Crown of Mitre. Mm-hmm. She had three sisters. But she lived above Woodfoot. But they used to come, but they'd have to walk. It's a pretty long way on a wet day. Isn't it? There and back. Yeah.
And did you have a uniform?
No, not at Bampton School, no.
And what about the sort of games you used to play? Can you remember anything about the games in the playground?
I remember playing rounders. Mm-hmm. I don't think we played much else but rounders. Because it was a good schoolyard for rounders, apart from being hilly. Mm-hmm. You know, it was quite a good schoolyard. Mm-hmm. The boys would play football and cricket, I think. Mm-hmm. Well, maybe I had to go at that. I don't know.
What about trips? Do you remember any school trips that you used to have?
Not school trips. The only trips that there were in the valley were when you went to Sunday school, and there was a Sunday school trip, and usually to Morecambe. Then on the way back, the bus would break down. You were hours late.
Do you remember many of the children from Burnbanks going to the Sunday school?
Well, I don't know, really. There would be them, definitely. Elsie Thompson and her sisters would go, I'm sure. I don't know whether Crabtrees would go to Sunday school or not.
Did the Thompsons leave? Do you remember them leaving?
I don't think they were living there when we went to live there, but they had lived there, so they must have been gone quite a while. Mrs. Thompson, I think, maybe got a house in Penrith with the girls. Somewhere. No, they weren't there when we moved to Burnbanks, because it was a couple called Dinsdale and they had a boy, so the Thompsons had gone into Penrith. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh well.
Can you remember much about your school days? How were the desks laid out? Were they in rows or?
Oh yeah, yes. Well, you usually shared a desk. Mm-hmm. I shared mine with Frank Twigg. And it's usually, I think it was usually boy, girl, you know, sort of thing, in the stone built building. And I know the classrooms were full. Mm-hmm. And I remember one day, Dougie Thornton, did you ever know him?
I heard of him.
Well, for some reason, unknown to me, he just whacked his ruler across my hand. Mm-hmm. And I said, what do you do that for? I said, oh, nothing. He would have been reported today, wouldn't he? Mm-hmm. It was a nasty piece, I got that. Mr. Ainsley was a nice teacher, but he never taught me. But he's a quiet chap. But I do things stick in your mind for years ago. That really got to me, like, whacking me with a ruler. It was a nasty devil with that ruler, and it hurt and all.
Do you remember what subjects you were taught?
Well, everything really. Yeah, history, geography, not science. History and geography, maths, scripture, English. Oh, it was quite interesting what we did, I think. Mm-hmm. You know, nobody seemed to complain about our lessons. And then Dougie Thornton used to take us out for a nature walk. We'd probably go to Chapel Bridge, and then you took your drawing paper and your pencil and had to draw it. Now, I like that sort of thing, you know. And that was really the highlight of the summer, when you got a nature walk out. Because you had to take your own sandwiches for school. There wasn't a canteen, but the canteen opened just before I left Bampton School when I was 11 to go to grammar school, and the canteen opened maybe a couple of months before I left. Mm-hmm. Mrs. Holliday and Ada Preston did that. canteen. They were very good. So.
And I was going to ask you about the school that you went on to, and whether there were any children still from Burnbanks going into the Penrith schools.
Grammar school. Yeah, I went to grammar school. Ooh, I'm touching that day. I got 4 O levels. Mm-hmm. And then I went to work in a solicitor's office, which is as dried as sticks there.
Do you remember any children from Burnbanks still at school then, going to the grammar school with you?
Maybe one of the light, oh, but they all lived at Roskill, I think. You see, that yes, there was a few of us who went to grammar school, but maybe not from Burnbanks.
Because you spoke about the Thompson girls,
they didn't. No, I don't recollect any of Thompson girls going to grammar school. Maybe I don't know about Margaret Irving either. She lived next door to them, but she maybe just went to Bampton School.
Because there was another school, was the Ullswater Community College in...
Oh no, there wasn't such a place.
Was there not?
No, there wasn't such a place. I mean, I had to stay on to Bampton until, you know, finish school in full stop. You know, till they were, 15 it would be then,
oh,
I think.
Oh, really?
Oh, yes.
If you didn't go to grammar school?
Yes, if you didn't get a pass an exam and go to Penrith, you were just at Bampton until your school days were over.
Oh, really?
And all the little villages would be like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, Dougie Thornton was stuck with us and hitting folk with rulers till he snuffed it, I should think.
Oh, dear. And what did your little one was only tiny when you were up there, so I mean, were there other small children for her to play with when
for who?
When you lived at Burnbanks?
Yes.
The little one that you had then?
Yes, surely.
Were there quite a few small children?
No, I think there must be at school. Mm-hmm. You never used to see her. Oh, that's, yes, there was some little ones because she used to come down to the clinic together, yes. Push our prams. Mm-hmm. But they were maybe not quite toddling, some of them, you know what I mean? So you couldn't let them out, and the house had steps up to the door, you see, mm-hmm. Number one.
That's right.
So if Gina had a family, oh, what a lot of steps she had to her house, didn't she? Mm-hmm. So it wasn't easy. There wasn't a community centre sort of where mothers and toddlers could go. That might have been a good idea then, mm-hmm. when there was more, you know, mothers and children than there is now. So... Well, we used to enjoy the walk down to the village hall for the clinic, as they called it, mm-hmm. you know. And the doctor used to come as well. Mm-hmm. Not our own doctor. I don't know where it was from.
That village hall would have been in Bampton, would it?
It was here, the same place.
Oh, right.
Yeah, it was the same place. It was built in 19... Was the Queen crowned in 1952 or 50? Mm-hmm. Well, that was, I think it was opened for that. The first occasion, if I'm right. Mm. I think, I might not be sure on that line. Because there was always raising money for it. I had dances in the school, mm-hmm. in the wooden part there, to raise money for the village hall. And it did get done in a nice village hall, really. Mm-hmm. You know, so.
That's good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, aye.
So you said your husband actually worked on the Burnbanks site.
Yeah, he was a joiner, yes.
Yes.
Yeah, he didn't actually work on it when they were doing the lake.
No.
That was done on everything, the dam.
Right.
Yeah.
So he moved to work there after the dam was finished.
Oh, yes. There was a joiner shop in the yard and things like that, you say, yes. No, he didn't actually work on the dam.
No.
No.
But he would maintain the houses in Burnham.
Oh, yes, maybe. Yes. Yeah. Safe. Well, what can I say? If curtain rails dropped off, the doors wouldn't fit and things like that, I would say. Yeah. Not that I can remember anybody really wanting much done in the houses, but they used to do jobs They had a lot of the waterworks had a lot of farmhouses, you see.
Right.
Which every house needs a bit of attention sometime, doesn't it? So I'd probably go up to Margaret Coward's up there, you see, and spend a week there doing what job she had in different other farmhouses. Oh, there was always work. Yeah.
Did he think they were a good employer?
Oh yes.
Yeah.
He never complained. Never complained, no.
Did they have unions and things, do you know?
Yes, they did have a union, up at Burnbanks, but I can't tell you who was. Raymond Crabtree was in the union once. But Raymond's, I don't know how old Raymond is. He'll be over 60, won't he? Raymond, do you know Raymond?
I know of him, yeah.
Yeah, he'll be over 60. And I think he used to collect the union money off them. Because they were all in it sort of thing then. And then what happened after that, I don't know. Unless if a lot moved away and it wasn't worthwhile bothering, I couldn't say. He was in that place in Penrith, the same place as the Margaret Coward, isn't he?
That's right.
Yeah,
yes.
Well,
yes, that's my
understanding. I hope I never have to go into places.
Well, that's right.
You know, you never know, like, do you? But,
you don't.
Tell you what, I shall go and get that photograph, unless you want to ask me anything else, really.
Well, do you think, is there anything else that that you want to talk about with Burnbanks? I mean, is there anything else that you can remember about it that I know you weren't there for very long, but you know, or anything that your father talked about when he worked?
Oh, I know what he used to say sometimes. To mend them damned things for toss water till the kitchen utensils. Why they can't buy new ones, I don't know, they're absolutely shattered. That's one complaint he did have. I can't think of any others. And we thought it was funny, but I suppose it was quite mean when they couldn't buy new kitchen utensils.
Yeah, so he used to go up and mend them all.
Yeah, or they'd probably send them down to the blacksmith's shop for them to be repaired.
Funny. Yeah. So your husband, your father was a blacksmith?
Smith, yes.
And your husband was
a joiner.
Was a joiner.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah, and I was the housewife and mother.
Yeah. Well, I'm working as well.
Yes.
So how did your father get about? Did he?
He had a bike.
He had a bike?
Oh, yes.
Right.
Up and down to Bombay. Up to Burnbanks and down to Bombay, Oh, there's nobody give you lifts those days. There'll be a lot of them go on bikes, I should think. Well, those who lived there would be all right. They'd just walk to work, wouldn't they? I used to go on his bike.
But not many people had cars anyway.
Oh, no, no. The roads were never blocked with cars. The first car I think I remember, like as a taxi, was John Bonus. Really? Not many people had cars at all. They needn't have built the motorway then, and they didn't, did they?
No, they didn't. Do you remember about the winters? Were they bad?
Oh, I do remember. Was it 1947? Dad and my brother walked to Helton in deep drifts of snow to get bread, because the bread vans had never been able to get through. And it was left at the pub at Helton, the same pub that was there. And just went and picked it up and had to come all the way back. In desperation, people had to do it, you see, hadn't they? But we would be. Oh, and I remember my dad digging snow out with other corporation workers up to Swindale, where Buckles lived. And it was, I don't know how high up there. And then possibly they'd dig it out and then it would be windy and they'd have to go back the next day to blow it all in. So it must have been a bit hard up there.
But while you were living at Burnbanks, did you have a hard winter at all? I know you were only there.
Well, I can't remember ever being blocked in or not being able to get the bus to work. So it would be before that, wouldn't it? About 1947, I think, when that really bad winter was. So, never. Well, and the different machinery today, haven't they, to clear roads and things like that.
Certainly.
But
Did you have street lighting up there?
no.
No, none at all.
No, I
No.
just had a torch.
Yes, right.
No street lighting. No street lighting anywhere.
No.
Until recently with these lights and past the St Patrick's well, which they want to close. Oh, dear. It's a shame, isn't it? A good pub gone to waste.
What do you think about Burnbanks now?
I think it'll be really nice when it gets finished. But saying that, I don't think I would want to live at it again, for the simple reason that I haven't got transport. I mean, they only have buses 2 days a week, don't they?
That's right,
Saturdays
yes.
and Tuesdays. Whereas they were every day and you're never isolated, you know. But I wonder if they'll do anything with the outsides of the bungalows. Will they pebble dash them or
Oh, I think they're going to
rough
look very
cast?
different. Because, I mean, they're all coming down.
They're all coming down.
Now, not the ones on the road, but the ones in
No.
Burnbanks itself are all coming down.
All right.
Not the top bungalows, not the first. I think the first one might be coming down, actually. I think it's only.
Gina's maybe isn't, and
I
next
think
door.
it might be. I'm not sure
All
about that.
right. Because
But
the.
the ones at the very end aren't.
Oh,
But
no.
all of the other ones
One's
will be
that.
coming
All
down.
right,
So
right.
they'll all be proper houses.
Oh, well, they look better, won't they?
Well,
They
they
look
look very
nice.
different,
Yeah.
yes.
Because they've knocked those down opposite Sylvia, haven't they, where Olive and George Hindmarsh lived and Mrs. Holiday. They were two. They'd rather nice sight there because quite a bit of room at the back. So there'll be another two good houses there, won't there?
That's right,
It's a good
yes.
project, actually. I hope it goes okay. Well, I'm going to put kettle on. I bet you could do with a drink of tea, could you?
Yeah, I'll turn it off
Have you?
anyway.
Oh,
Yes.
no, don't turn
No,
kettle off yet. I haven't put it on.
Well, thank you very much indeed. Thank you
Right.
very, very much
I'm going
indeed for
upstairs for that photograph, but I'll let the kettle
Right,
boil
I'll
first.
just